The following audio is a Pod Bros exclusive.
Hey, Toden, what about the video?
I don't know about that.
Oh.
Welcome to episode 12 of Media Literary Sandwich, and with me is Okay, so I guess we have a special host. It's just me and... So you're multiple Daves in there. Are you just one Dave? Are you two Daves?
Well, I'm Dave Patterson in real life. I'm Dave the Nerd on Dave's Nerd Compendium, and also I'm Thirsty, and pretty much anything with Pod Bro. So I guess you could say I am the Daves everybody knows.
Yeah, that's you know, I don't know how old my audience is, but maybe other people will get that. I know every time you guys, oh my god, on your Facebook there'll be like five Daves posting, and I just have to post that
these
old
are the
sketch.
Daves I know, and oh, these are the Daves I know.
Hit the button next to the red thing now. Yeah, go ahead, hit that. Now start singing that.
These are the Daves I know, and oh, these are the Daves I know.
Okay, go ahead and pause that. There we go.
Kids in the Hall, gotta love it.
That's who they were, Kids in the Hall. Okay. So the name of your show, and I can never pronounce this right.
Dave's Nerd Compendium.
Compendium. Did yep. I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, so... what does compendium mean?
A compendium is a collection of miscellaneous knowledge and information about a general subject. So with my show, I do a geek and nerd life culture, and I talk pretty much anything that could be nerdy, because nerdy is just finding something you love and just spilling your love for it. Rush, music, comic books, geek magazine? Yeah, why not? I've done so much in the 34 years that I've been alive that I can literally just spew knowledge about everything. I've actually got kicked out of trivia nights because they think I'm cheating because I know too much.
That's funny because I used to do trivia night with a librarian. And that's how you beat all the presidential questions. But when it came to sports, we didn't know. It was very obvious that we were not cheating.
Sports ball? That's where you hit a hat trick and you shoot a touchdown, right?
No, that's the one where you have to hit the ball over the net in a pool or riding a horse.
Oh, water polo.
Yes.
So sad when the horses drowned.
Oh, they're usually pretty good. I mean, they swim. I mean, they got that. America's got that one fast horse, Michael Phelps.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we do okay.
Yeah, the U of M grad.
Right. So I do listen to your show, and it is very informational, but I feel like one of the biggest things now, especially when we talk about podcasts, when we talk about video, is to be relatable, and in being relatable is being conversational. I mean, even writing now is so conversational. You don't, you know, you get a book that is written with 50 cent words, you're just like, this is written like someone that went to school a little bit too long. And it's harder to read. People don't read that anymore. They want something, let's not say on their level, because I could read stuff with 50 cent words and understand what it means. I just don't know why would I even use it? But also that is script, you know, in my past with script writing, and it's just conversational tone. So my question is, what do you see as being the difference of conversational tone and informational?
Well, for me, it's kind of hard because I am a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I write it myself. I do all the research myself in between a lot of stuff. So when I'm writing it, it's like I tend to not even know what the even topic of the show will be until right when I'm getting ready to record. It's like, what do I want to do this show about? So I'll just go through like my notebook of notes, and it's like, okay, I'll pick this one. And okay, Captain America. Let me do an episode about Captain America. And since it's only one person, I can't really be like, so, you know what I like about Captain America is this. What about you? Because it'd just be dead air.
So how much research do you do before an episode?
On average, depending on the topic, it could be a few hours or a couple weeks. I have about 7 episodes that I have just written out. I haven't recorded anything yet because I'm waiting for the right person to bring in so we can have conversations about it, because these are the like bigger topics, and I want to show people that it's not just my opinion on them, but get somebody else's opinion on it, and maybe somebody who is overly loving of the topic, where me, I'm just like, it was it.
See, to me is, you do give your opinion on a show, but it's not overbearing. It really is more of a compendium where you're just getting the information. I mean, I have a few examples. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, the video is a completely different show.
Yeah, you get to see my ugly face.
Which is a bonus or a negative, in which however you take that. But today I spread all sorts of geeking, lovely geekiness all over the table, because I got to it before Crazy Mark did, basically. It's really important to bring up all these geeky things, because as filmmakers and creators, we like to pour in our favorite things, which brings me to Easter eggs. How, when you're listening to other things or watching it, you know, how much are you looking for Easter egg, and what is the stretch? What's your feels?
My feel on Easter eggs is I like them. And even in my show, I tried to put a couple Easter eggs in there, and they're more like my personal screw-ups. And I do it that way because I look to have conversations with people. And although I am a very, very busy person, when I post an episode, I like to get people's feedback. So one episode, and it was just quite recently, I said that Richard Pryor was still alive. Everybody knows he died in 2005. I said he was still alive. I wanted to see who would comment and say, Dave, I think you're wrong here. It wasn't on any page that day. It was a day later when you mentioned it, but a good friend of mine sent me an email. He's like, dude, Pryor died in 05. It's like, oops. Oh, well.
See, I feel part of that is because you're by yourself and you're trying to be conversational, and then you start stretching. You know, that's why having a person there, you know, especially, you know, like vloggers, they constantly have to get used to talking to the camera. And it's very hard. When I used to, you know, when I do reviews, I've gotten better at it over the years. But when I'm doing reviews, I'm just talking straight to the camera. I either have to do it like it's live, and somehow it relaxes me thinking there's an audience out there. Or I actually pretend there's a person next to it, and sometimes you put a picture there, and I've heard people do this. They put a picture there, or like I have a mannequin in the other room, and I think it'd be hysterical, which made a guest appearance one of these episodes. Maybe I should put the mannequin right here, because we usually have a third person. Maybe I'll do that another day.
I'm big enough for two people. That's enough.
You're normally in my spot, which is throwing me off.
Hey, you said I could take the helm. So deal with it, number two.
Wow. So but, yeah, it's hard having a conversational tone with yourself. And I notice one thing that you do is you kind of start drifting off, and you're getting better at it, especially because people point it out, which is huge. If you see something you think can be better, doesn't matter if we agree with you or not. Go ahead and point it out. And if someone gets mad at you over it, well, then who cares? I've actually been banned from YouTube pages because I didn't like the way somebody's tone was. And I was like, hey, look, you're doing great. It's just this line right here made you seem very egotistical. When you say, I want everyone to know this, so share my video on this. I don't like that because it makes people sound egotistical. And you ban me because of that? I'm not upset that I made the comment. I'm not upset that you banned me. I just know not to watch your videos anymore.
And me, I'm all for constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. If you could give me criticism that will make my show better. Granted, I've been around for almost 3 years.
Right.
And people who know me know I've been spouting off random facts and stupid things for about 35 years.
Mm-hmm. But Dave knows everything.
Exactly.
Except he doesn't have the hair like Adam. There's a show called Adam Ruins Everything, which is absolutely amazing.
I don't watch that much TV anymore. Okay. But yeah, I like to hear, hey, you know, you did a great job here, but you could tweak this. Hey, mm-hmm. you know, Richard Pryor died in 05. Hey, no.
I totally agree, too. Like, hey, look, I like the questions they ask the person you're interviewing. I'm like that you just let them talk. But next time, don't sit in front of their face, because I'd like to see who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And you gotta admit, like, yeah, I messed up. Oh, yeah, this video is weird because the game, you know, because there's grainy stuff on the screen, and I figure that out. And I also figure out when the whole screen jumps up and down that I, great, something's wrong with my computer program, and I gotta check that out. Don't be looking for these things. Please don't. Or do. What, you know. Maybe you'll force me to change some of the videos up. But I see these errors, and that's how you learn. I've been doing video for almost 10 years now. I've been doing broadcasting for more than that. Everyone makes mistakes, and that's how you learn. Especially when you work with a zero budget. You'll find that you make more mistakes than you would if you had more of a budget, because then you have more people looking over your shoulder. It's okay to ask people to look for things, but, you know, but like us, we make weekly content and multiple contents a week sometimes, where it's harder to find these things. Do you have any checks and balances?
Normally when I record an episode, I will get done with it. I'll put it away for maybe a couple hours. I'll listen to it. And I'll do my first edit. Mm-hmm. And I'll clip out a lot of the dead air and a lot of the issues that I find. But then I put it away for a couple more days. Come time when it's time for me to polish it and get it out there, I'll listen to it twice more. Once just all the way through, I'll have a notepad next to me. Okay, 2 minute, 24 seconds, 5 minute, 30 second, and have all this. That way, the second time through, I can clip or do any editings that I need to do. That way, I've at least listened to it 3 times now. Before I put it out there. Yes, I still miss stuff. Yeah, there'll be little glitches when I'm rendering it to finish it. Like this last episode, there was like a 30 second where my voice and my guest's voice overlapped. That was just a random glitch. I can play back the audio that's on my laptop. You don't hear it.
Right, you just gotta go back to the raw and, you know, fix it.
And I just haven't had time to do that. But, hey, it's only 30 seconds, and there's nothing big or bad about it because the rest of the hour-long episode is good.
You pick your battles.
Yeah.
Now, if this was a freelance job...
Yeah, if I was getting paid for doing this, I would nitpick it to death, and I probably would put it out, like, 2 weeks later for giving me enough time to nitpick it. Cell by cell, second by second, actually millisecond by millisecond, to make sure I get all the mouth noises out of it, too. But I don't get paid for it, so it is what it is, and I do tend to do a lot of production on a rushed timeline.
Right, and you say rush timeline when you said you leave it for a couple days, and some people are just machines. You know, and I was like that for a while. Like, hey, look, I put out a video every day, every 2 days or whatever, and I do this many film competitions. I got to do this many of this. You do it because you really like it, and you got to figure out time management. And so I've talked to several people that do exactly what you know, like that. They let sit for it, and they have several projects that overlap. And now you're hearing this. How overwhelming does it sound, or is it something like that's like all four?
I'm a full-time employee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a full-time college student going for my master's degree in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
theoretically, you could say I'm a full-time podcaster.
Mm-hmm. So you spend at least 40 hours a week.
Doing everything, yeah.
Right.
So, right. I mean...
You help run the network, if I'm not mistaken, correct? No?
Not technically. I'm one of the bros, but I'm not... I post my shows. Mm-hmm. I do the editing for my show, the mini cast that I do for the shopping list. I do the editing for I'm Thirsty, that used to be And Scene I'm Thirsty. I do a lot of the talent scouting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be listening to shows and I'll shoot John Bursky a message. Hey, check out this podcast. You might want to sign this one. It's a
you
found
show. Here, but it's part. Okay, but it's still part of the hours that you spend.
Yeah. But that's all. I do probably 30 hours of podcast stuff in between writing, recording, editing, and all that. I do about 20 to 30 hours a week of just schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Then I work 40 hours a week. That's 100 hours, roughly. Okay. Between 80 to 100 hours.
Okay.
When do I sleep? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you that, because people, you know, they got full lives, and they still do this stuff. It's a, you know, why? Why?
For the love.
I figured you'd say because you got nothing better else to do.
No.
It's the hobby. It's the passion.
Yeah, it's the love.
You know, and that's what it is to be an independent creator. So, to sum up, conversation versus informational. And, you know, I do want to go back to that. Because you do get conversational when you have guests there. Do you ever try to do something to fill the void? Because sometimes it does sound like it's very hard to fake conversation. Well, actually, no, it's not hard to fake conversational. But it does sound like you're just reading off of something. Do you ever just pretend you have an imaginary friend there and just be like, you know, you ever try that kind of exercise?
I did when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody call me out that made it appear that I was too fake.
Okay.
So I went and tried to edit the way I was doing stuff, and it's like, okay, I would set, like you said, put someone's picture on from me and act like I was having a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I got somebody saying, you sound too fake. You sound too, just too not real.
Okay.
So I went and I was like, okay, if I'm doing a topical show, I am going to have bullet points. And I script this out. I normally put 50 to 60 bullet points. I know this subject well enough to where one bullet point I could go on for about 5-10 minutes. Some shows I don't keep that many bullet points. I might do 10. So that's the shows that are like 15, 20, 30 minutes. If I have 50, 60 bullet points, you're looking at a good hour-long show. And I just hit bullet point, and I do it like you're giving a speech. You don't want to write out the speech and read it verbatim.
And death by PowerPoint, right.
Exactly. So you just want to take a bullet point and maybe have 5-6 words, if that. And it's just... Here's what will lead you on your next subject. This will lead you to your next topic. This will follow through. And that's how I do the show. And I've had people say, you know, it sounds a little bit better with you doing it this way versus you trying to be conversational when there's nobody there.
Okay. You got to know your audience. And now, how do you feel better doing it?
In a way, I do. In a way, I kind of wish I had a co-host, but between my hectic schedule and anybody else's hectic schedule, it's kind of hard to find the perfect match for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I, we've talked about doing this, and it just so happened that today worked out for us.
Right.
When I did the interview with my buddy Jack Gwallon, I did that Saturday morning when I was supposed to be doing homework. I cut out an hour chunk of time for us to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it it's just hard to like manage schedules with interviews and all that, because I got an interview that I have to set up with Chelsea Libby from Comic-Con. She's a person that puts that together. I have to schedule an interview with her.
I've yet to go to that. I do want to check that out one of these years.
Well, this is only the second year of it. And Pod Bros had a good table. Bad placement, but a good table we sponsored last year. And it was a good con. Small con. I didn't really care for the venue that much because it was a small con.
Right.
I mean, picture a John Kellel con and cut the space in half.
Okay.
That's the space that this con was in.
When you mentions John Kellel, you mean the yourcomiccon.com stuff, which you could find a ton of their cons on my YouTube, youtube.com/ToadandK. He puts on a lot more cons than I cover, but...
Practically every third weekend is a John Kellel con.
Which aren't bad. I do like his because there are always people cosplaying. A couple of the last ones we've been to.
Yeah. But, I mean, you go to a con like that and it's kind of hit or miss. But I have her with the interview. I'm going to try to get Stephanie Menard from The Way Station, the creator of Psychopath. She has a book of short stories that's going to be released through Amazon.
All right, man.
In October. So I'm going to try to get her on to talk about stuff. There's a couple other people who I'm getting on the show other than yourself that's on it. But it's hard to schedule all this because my availability is so limited, and normally it's like, well, I had this day, this day, and this day available. Well, I can't do it on those days. Tell me what days you can do, and I'll try to rearrange stuff to be able to do it.
Right. That's what, you know, and if they can't do it those days, stuff happens. You know, we don't have a $1 million budget where, you know, I mean, there are ways around it. You know, there's some sacrifice. You know, you will see a lot of people be like, okay, so these are my questions. Go ahead and answer these into your own podcast microphone. And then, or maybe I'll ask them, I'll send you the audio, and then you send me your audio. And then maybe I'll adjust a little bit on my side. And people do make that work. However, it just does, again, that conversational. It does not feel conversational anymore.
And you can, although a lot of people try to edit it, you can hear the cut in between each audio.
There are some pretty good tips for that. The simplest tip I can give for that is a simple audio dissolve about 2 or 3 frames. If, you know, just that much, you will not hear the clip.
But the funny thing with
you... But what do I know?
The funny thing about you saying send them a script, back when I...
Not send them a script, send them the questions. Send them
the questions.
Right.
The question script, if you will.
Right.
I had an interview scheduled with a game designer. He was having his game on Indiegogo, Kickstarter.
One of those.
One of the crowdfunding sites. I still remember the guy's name. And he wanted to do an interview. Fine. I sent him the list of questions, being professional. Sent him a list of 10, 12 questions, something like that. And I was like, okay, we're a go for this date, this time. And this was like 2 weeks out. The week of, beginning of the week, I was like, okay, we're still a go for this date, this time. Yeah, we're good. Day of, didn't hear from him.
That happens.
Time of the interview, didn't hear from him. 5 hours after the interview, sorry, I overslept. Well, luckily for me, he sent me his answers. I read them off on my episode. And how should I put it? My buddy Alex, who is the web designer for Pod Bros. He built the website. He set up everything website-wise for Pod Bros. He's supposedly the person John's going to talk to get an app set up for Pod Bros. Told John, he's like, have you listened to Dave's episode? He's ripping this guy a new rectal orifice. But he's doing it in the most polite way. And I did. I was like, well, I asked him this question. He replied in blah, 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 blah. Now, he can't defend himself, but seriously, if you're doing this, what about this? Or this? Or this even? I mean, this is the type of stuff that a gamer like myself would want to know before I go and buy the freaking game. And I was like, if you want to set up a time to reply to these questions, feel free. I will set up a new time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard from the guy again.
I have so many like different... It's totally different story just reading off people's responses versus being able to talk to them. If you look back at some of my reviews, I never have the person there or on the phone, but it's something I want to do in the future. I've been recently talking to another video platform, and I asked them, hey, you know, because they want to talk to me again, and like, when we talk, can I record our conversation? I would like to use it in an educational way. It's not going to be prank. It's going to be educational way. I want you to talk to me just like you would talk to anyone else. And I will talk to you like I talk to anyone else. It'll just be used as educational. Now, I don't want to name names because no matter what, I'm going to do that conversation with another platform. There's other platforms that will agree right away to do this because I've asked other platforms. So I don't want you to know if it's the one or not. I'm not going to answer that question. But one particular representative for a platform that said, well, we want to talk to you, but at this time we will not feel comfortable being recorded because we're in beta testing and we just don't want anything we say to be recorded. So you're not willing to stand behind anything that you're willing to say. Now, when I'm reviewing products, a lot of times I will send my issues to the to whatever the representative, sometimes it's the owner, and they have their chance to rebuttal, to say things. And so many times we're like, hey, look, my issues was this, this, and that. What the company told me was they're doing this to resolve that. They're still in beta, so this issue should be fixed before it's released, and this issue is not going to be it won't even be an issue because they're going to get rid of that feature and replace it with another feature that will allow you to do whatever. All these things have happened. Whether or not it always happens, that's beside the point, but they have their chance to say something. So I'd love for, when the phone calls for them to happen. All right, so thank you for coming. Again, shout yourself out. Where can people find you?
You can find me on the Pod Bros Network. That's podbros.com. You can find me, myself, on Twitter at DaveTheNerd_DNC. You can find pretty much me and my side company, Dave the Nerd Computers, at DaveNC.com. On Facebook as, I think it's Facebook.com/Dave's Nerd Compendium, I think. I don't remember. Just search Dave's Nerd Compendium. You'll find it. If you want to add me personally on Facebook, I'm not that interesting to follow, but just search Dave the Nerd. I'm normally one of the first people that show up. Yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Once again, thank you for watching. Of course, you can find Media Layer Sandwich on podbros.com and also medialayersandwich.com. And you can find me at toden.com. And if you haven't watched the video, which you can find on all those sites as well, you can find the audio download along with the embedded YouTube video. The YouTube video and all my event video stuff is at youtube.com/ToadenK. Thank you for watching and listening, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.